Magic time.
It
Three,
is
two,
the magic
one.
time.
It's podcasts, Nola Nerdcast style. Cowboy Bebop's got a trailer.
Finally.
I'm finally. I've been liking the teasers, and I'm very excited. I think it's super stylistic. A lot of great colors happening in this show. There's the sets. Everything seems a little off, and I really enjoy that. It has like this really cool. I think a lot of people are going to be really weirded out that it's got. If I say this, it's got this Speed Racer feel.
I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think that Speed Racer is the best anime movie they've ever made.
Speed Racer is surprisingly a very good movie. Go back and watch it again. It's quite enjoyable, and it's really strange, and it's really beautiful. Like, yeah. It's a beautifully shot movie, and it's super stylistic. Great color work. And I love everything about Jet. I'm sold.
So, I guess the things that struck me from the trailer, number one, I'm happy that it seems like they're going to use all the music, because the music is part of the big identity of Cowboy Bebop. I was kind of surprised to see Mad Pierrot on there.
Really?
Yes. I know it's kind of hard when you're adapting a beloved anime, because the question is, like, why are you even adapting it to live action? Shouldn't you do your own kind of thing that is inspired by it?
Right.
But the stuff I've seen, I'm pleasantly interested in.
Yeah, and I really feel like they're keeping Ed a secret.
Yeah, Ed has not been seen in anything. Not the opening video, not the fight video, and not the trailer.
Yeah, I feel like Ed's going to be kept secret.
Well, Ed is such a character. I mean,
she's one of the most
important ones, and I honestly don't know how it's going to play out.
Ayn is very great. I'm very happy.
He's a good boy. Yeah.
He's a good boy. He's a very good boy. Polygon did a really good breakdown about the episodes that they think is going to be on it. You know, the first episode, Asteroid Blues, already two main characters are already in there. Gateway Shuffle is there. We talked about that. The Ballad of Fallen Angels is in there. Jupiter Jazz, I think, is a super important episode. Let's not forget that Cowboy Bebop also had one of the first trans characters as a main.
Was it Rin?
You know?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I always thought that was interesting. I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah, my all-time favorite episode, Mushroom Samba, they think is going to be in it, but that's like an Ed and Ayn focused episode. So, because they have the character, the shaft-looking guy character in a really quick, like, show, and I'm like, oh my god, I think we're going to be getting Mushroom Samba, and if we get Mushroom Samba, it's over. It's done.
Grant. Grant.
And then, yeah, you're right. Parit LaFoe is in it, and that's a much later on character. Ed's already established as a character.
Yeah.
So,
Cowboy Bebop's a great anime that you can condense to five episodes. Honestly, my favorite episode is the one that's basically Alien with the food parasite.
Boys in the Attic.
Yes. That's my favorite episode. Because that's a great
Boys in the Attic is a great, great episode. That is like the equivalent to the Out of Gas episode of Firefly. And I've said this in multiple conversations that I'm not a Firefly fan. I'm a big fan of Out of Gas. I think that's an amazing episode. And Toys in the Attic did it first. But you had a scarier thing. Oh, man. And also Cowboy Funk is in it. They got the guy, you know, the pretty much the detonating bear and Brain Scratch. So there's a lot of... Polygon did a really good write-up about it. And yeah, it's, I feel like they're hiding Ed. I feel like it's going to be that big reveal and people are going to be like, wait, what? So got to hold, you can't, you know, show your hand.
No.
You got to hold some of the cards, but I'm excited. You know, I think the anime is amazing. I tend to read a lot of comments on comment sections because I'm always curious about, like, what people are thinking. And, man, if I hear another person saying that, oh, that was such a cringeworthy trailer, I just want to remind people that 90% of all anime is all cringe. Fight me.
I mean, depending on the anime, yes.
Yeah, like, the majority of anime is cringe. It's just, you just can't get around it. It's just, it is what it is. Other than that, Chris, how are you?
Man, you know, it's okay. I watched Dune this weekend.
How was Dune?
So, I think Dune is very interesting in that it's one of the pillars of science fiction that...
Yes.
You're either in or you're not in on, just because it's you know, so deep and it's got religious overtones and, you know, stuff like that. And I thought the movie, and I've not seen the David Lynch version, I thought the movie was good. I thought, you know, it did the thing that you want to do to kind of get everyone into the world. You know, they've already announced they're going to do the second part. And I think they did a great job of making Dune accessible, explaining things like the Bene Gerith and the voice and, you know, fear is the mind killer and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I will also say that it's the best role I've ever seen Jason Momoa in.
Oh, nice.
He's very, nice. Very good.
I think he's a surprisingly very good actor.
Sometimes, he doesn't do, you know, his biggest roles thus far have been Aquaman, which is fun.
I think he has fun. I like that he has fun on screen. I think that's why I enjoy watching him, because he has a lot of fun. You can tell he enjoys his job.
And then his other big role is Khal Drogo, where he does not speak English.
That's not a single word.
So,
But I'm
very excited for Dune 2. I think it's a beautiful looking movie. But I watched it at home. So.
Yeah, I want to see it on the screen. I like the David Lynch Dune. It's David Lynch, but it's not super Lynchy. But Sting is in it.
I think everyone has seen the shot of Sting, you know, in his Speedo.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a real thing. It's a sting.
Yes. So what else?
Been a blast.
Yeah. So what else we got? You know, we had the PlayStation State of Play today.
Not too shabby, not too great, not too like mind blowing. I think the two big takeaways for me is Death's Door. I think it's great seeing this game coming to the PlayStation. I thought it was just going to be an Xbox and PC exclusive, honestly. I really felt like, this is one of these games that is just going to just got to put on the side. But it's a big contender for Game of the Year with a lot of critics. It is a... apparently it's a really great Zelda X top-down scroll game that's full of a lot of really cool things. So I'm really excited to get my hands on this in November. And I think the other biggest thing that I'm really excited about is Little Devil Inside. Game looks really interesting. There's other things that happened on that. I think they had Star Ocean, if anyone's a fan of Star Ocean, there's a Star Ocean coming out. I think it's like the 90th one. I've never played a Star Ocean.
No, neither have I.
Yeah. New King of Fighters? I'm a big fighting game fan, and a big fan of. I like what SNK has done with Samurai Showdown, and this new King of Fighters looks really good. And there's a kart game, Five's Night at Freddy's. I never understood the game, so I never understood. Like that game came out like years ago, and I still don't get it. It's been, they made like 90 of the games. Don't get it. Bugsnax, I know Matt's really excited about it. There's a little expansion. Deathverse looks like another Battle Royale type game. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything?
No, I believe that's it. Yeah, I believe
that's
it.
That's my rundown. It's not as detailed as what Matt would go down through.
No.
But yeah, I think the two biggest takeaways is Death's Door coming to the PlayStation and more of Little Devil Inside.
Yeah, I only saw the trailer for Little Devil Inside. I think it looks pretty neat. But I haven't had a chance to watch any of the other stuff from State of Play. So, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm up at work right now. I got 3 months off, so yeah. I'm going to enjoy. I don't go back into January, so I'm going to enjoy my time off. So I'm going to try to keep up on video game news, get back into some reading of some things, and then, I don't know, I might pick up Guardians of the Galaxy. I might wait for it to hit a sale.
So
I've been playing a lot of Hades, so there's that.
Well, so here's the issue I have with Guardians of the Galaxy. I watched it on stream, and then I was like, you know what? That does not look terrible. I think I will wait to see what it does on Black Friday, because I think it's going to drop, you know, an amount. And then
I
was looking through the achievements, because that's what I do, and I was looking, and yeah. I saw that one of the secret achievements is to defeat Fin Fang Foom. And now it's got to jump up the list. I see Fin Fang Foom. I got to buy it. Matt was nice enough to buy me that Fin Fang Foom tiki from Mondo, which is sitting on my desk. So now I got to do it.
Oh, man. Once you text me that, because I've been on the fence about it, I'm like, man, they're probably going really deep into the Cosmic Marvel, and I think that's a great, I don't know, I feel like there's some properties of Marvel that just seem like it will work really well in video game form. I really like the Tall Tale Guardians of the Galaxy mix-up. I thought that was really nice. And also, I think rewarding this studio is Eidos Montreal is a very worker-friendly studio. So let's see what they pull off, I guess. Hopefully it gets some really good stuff going on, but a sale is nice.
I really think it's going to hit sale just because, you know, it's coming out now and it's not looking great. I haven't seen a lot of buzz, and I haven't seen a lot of people streaming it, so, or they've streamed it once and have gone off with it.
And I've read some really good reviews. A lot of the people who've seen the play it really love the game and enjoy it. They said that the combat isn't really too in-depth, but it's fun. And the story has some moments of just, like, little tears.
Mm-hmm.
So, tears are good. If a movie can make you cry, if a video game can make you tear up, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it should. That's what it should be shooting for.
It should be shooting for tears, people.
Yeah, emotion.
Emotion. Don't fear those tears.
I saw Halloween Kills a couple of days
ago. How was that? Did it kill?
Well, there are very good kills in it. And I think that's like it's... I mean, I think, you know, the 2018 Halloween movie got a lot of praise. And I think this movie, the kind of backlash went back the other way.
Okay.
The kills are excellent. The plot is kind of messy, and Jamie Lee Curtis is not in enough of it.
Oh, man.
That is, and that's a huge bummer. And even the girl from Halloween 2018, she's not in it a lot either. So,
okay.
You know, it kind of sucks for that, but it's also the middle part of a trilogy, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. Man, those movies can't be killed, huh?
No, I'm very curious to see what the plan is for, ironically, Halloween Kills, which will be the next one.
Yeah.
I think it's set to come out in October of next year. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. I have also been playing, Avengers.
How is it?
Okay, so here's where I am on the Square Enix Avengers. It's not as bad as everyone says it is.
Okay.
Because people are deriding it as the worst thing they've ever played, and that's simply not true. I think the storyline is very good. I think the acting of the characters is very good. I think it's the biggest non-gameplay problems are the fact that they don't look like the Avengers that we know from the screen, because they can't be.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't have their likeness. So they made all new characters designs, and, you know, some of them kind of weird, especially with people having their head, you know, the Avengers of the MCU.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, I think the gameplay can be a little grindy in parts. And shockingly, the game's over 120 gigs on my Xbox.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot to it. And it also has a slight amount of jank. Okay. Not like a bad amount of jank. Just like sometimes, like I was playing with my friends the other day, and my friend's character model didn't fully load in. It just happens. It's a little jank.
Little janks can always get fixed through time.
But I mean, if you have Game Pass, and you know, I know not everyone has Game Pass. The main story and the first four chapters of the DLC are available, and that's a pretty sweet deal.
That is a pretty sweet deal. I know there were supposed to be rumors of it's supposed to be the PlayStation PSN Plus game of the month, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, we'll see, but I don't think it's a terrible thing, and I think especially if you have Game Pass, it's really worth looking out.
Oh yeah, I feel like if you have a PlayStation, you should have Game Pass. I mean, if you have an Xbox, you should have Game Pass. I just feel like that's the thing you should have.
Yes,
if you're not, you're doing yourself a disjustice, right?
Right.
We agree.
What else? I told you what I've been watching. You've been playing Hades. Tell me what you're feeling about it.
I love it. I picked it up when it first released on consoles. I played it for a little bit, and I got a little distracted. And then I played it for a little bit over the hurricane, Ida in Texas. Didn't really help because the TV I was playing on wasn't really a super high def TV, and playing a PlayStation 5 on like a, you know, second generation, high def television, something you would play like your, first round of Xbox 360 games on, not really great. It didn't look that great on it. But I started diving a little bit deeper into Hades, and I'm just really enjoying it. I love Greek mythology, and I really like all types of mythology also. I'll just dive really deep in it, and they go all over the place in other myths as well. But I just like, I think the acting in the game is fantastic, and all the gods feel like who they are, which is I'm impressed. I think these guys did their research, they did their homework, and it seems like they really enjoyed the subject matter, because the game just plays so well, and it's a roguelike, but it's, I can't play any other roguelikes because of the way this game is structured. The game is structured in such a great way. And the constant little changes in the story, and it's kind of like an onion that you keep on. It's more like a jawbreaker, I would say. The game is like a jawbreaker because, like, you know, it seems a little dense, but you start getting into the layers and things start, like, unfolding. And you really do have to have a kind of understanding of Greek mythology. I feel like that will do you more of a justice of, like, knowing the subject matter. If you don't know the subject matter, you can still enjoy the game. But I feel like if you know these Greek tales and the stories of the heroes and the Iliad and the Odyssey and the story of the Minotaur, and understanding, like, the gods and the goddesses and all the things they've done, I think you get so much more out of this game. It's like understanding the classics, and you'll understand a lot. And it's beautiful. I think the game is really well done. And I love games with these sharp colors. Let colors pop. Don't do these dull, you know, like, oh, I'm just so blah. You know, you would think Hades, everything would be all like goth and blah, but it's bright and
it's beautiful. It's almost neon.
Neon, the colors are great. Like, it all, yeah, it's so well executed on so many levels. And I like that this studio is one of my favorite independent studios. And I feel like they bring 100% every single time they make a game. Bastion was just, I really enjoyed Bastion a lot, and it's a really cool, it's Supergiant Games, but Hades, I feel like, is their peak. Like, I hope they make more. Like, I really do. I don't hope this is the bottom, but, you know, but Transistor was great, and I didn't play it probably, but Hades, this has been such an amazing experience. And if I know it was, like, Game of the Year last year, but, like, this is another contender for me. It's weird that the two Game of the Years for me are two games that came out last year. And they're both isometric, top-down. I'm appreciating the top-down isometric games more and more and more and more. And story-driven games. These independent companies, just give me that more. I enjoy, like, these first-person games and these open-world games, but, like, look, I'm not here for the multiplayer anymore. I'm here for the story. I'm here for the medium, the new style of telling a story, and let it be fun and let it be enjoyable. And reward me for my knowledge. You know what I mean? That's what I really liked about Deathloop. Reward me for understanding some basic, like, bullshit science hypotheses and weird stuff and weird phenomenals, and reward me for finding lore. Like, I really enjoy that. And I think one of the strongest suits in this game, in Hades, is the relationships, is that you build relationships in the game with all of the characters. And the more you build relationships, the more you start learning about those characters, but the more you start learning about the myths themselves of those characters. And then you start piecing little things together. It's like, oh, now I know where that myth came from, and now I know where this saying came from, and now I know where this came from. So there's a lot of, like, really good importance of this game, just because of there's a lot happening. But that's me. That's how I feel about it. I give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm in kind of the same boat with regard to multiplayer games. I don't have it in me anymore.
Yeah.
I have cooperative games, but, you know, going like trying to rank up to platinum and get new skins, I got nothing. I don't have that for me anymore.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's a second job. I'm almost 40. I don't need a second job. I already have a really tough job that I do 9 to 10 months out of the year. So I don't need that. I don't need that in my life.
I have also been playing Back for Blood a lot recently.
Yeah, have you been enjoying that?
I have been having a great time with it. I am happy to announce that we will be playing it on our Extra Life charity stream this coming up in, oh God, what day is it? It's like a week and a half from now. So here's what I will say about Back for Blood. The card system is a really fun way to kind of shake things up. You know, you get cards that give you perks throughout the game, but the enemy types also get cards. And last night, as we were on the final level, the enemy cards were fucking brutal. We did not finish it on easy after like 6 attempts. It's rough stuff.
So it's got a good challenge then.
I think it's got a great challenge. You know, I have not watched anyone do the final thing. Maybe there's a thing that we missed. But just the amount of enemies, the amount of adds, the amount of hazards on the ground was rough. And
yeah,
the game kicked the shit out of us quite a lot. But maybe we're bad at video games. What do I know?
That's true, right? Yeah. What do we really know? We might be really bad at playing these games, or yeah, we might not. Who knows? It doesn't matter. We're having fun.
Josh, I got some Quora questions for you, so I can wrap up and eat dinner.
Oh my God, I love it. I love our quick, fast, hit you in the face podcast with all the information.
Dig it. All right, Josh. Why do people still go to Starbucks when they can have better coffee for half the price virtually anywhere else?
Oh, look. I used to be addicted to Starbucks. I know how that's like. I don't know. I don't understand. I think they pump something in the air when you're in that store that gets you hooked on their coffee. But I can tell you this. I can tell you as a marketing strategy, Starbucks' plan is to get you hooked on their coffee. So they always, it's a higher amount of caffeine in their beverages. So you're pretty much going to a drug dealer. So that's why people are there, is because they're all about that caffeine hit that they're getting from Starbucks. Doesn't matter that the coffee tastes like cigarette ashes, like some hipster made in the back and smoked some cigarettes and dropped the ashes in and, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's the high levels of caffeine. And people actually like being in places and doing things or pretending to be doing things so they can be seen. So, and Starbucks is one of those places where you can pretend to do things and you can be seen.
Yeah, I don't drink coffee, so I don't have like an answer for this. But like, there's a Starbucks everywhere. So,
oh, yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And the fact that it just has coffee means that you know that you can go any time of day and get a coffee. So
that's true.
Or
a magic milkshake.
You know, whatever. I'm not picky.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, let people have their coffee.
Exactly. Even if it tastes like cigarettes.
Well, you know, taste is subjective.
It is.
Josh, how would the Joker react if he encountered Joker imposters dressed like him trying to copy his behavior because they respected him?
I think it would be really like a weird feeling, right? Like it would be kind of like a really weird reaction.
I think he'd kill him.
Yeah. Like he would not like it.
No, I think, you know, knowing what we know about Joker, I think he would have fucked with them for a little bit and then killed them.
Yeah, or made them do things for him to get them killed.
Yeah. Maybe had them fight Batman while Batman you know, beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, that's crazy sauce.
Yeah. Josh, is the Garden of Eden real or fiction? If real, where can it be located today?
Talk about mythology. Yeah, the Garden of Eden is definitely real. It's called Earth.
Yeah, we're in the garden. Let's move on.
We're in the garden.
If it's real, it's got to be somewhere in the Middle East, right?
Yeah,
unless you're Mormon, in which case it's in like Missouri.
Yeah, you would pinpoint it at the cradle of civilization in between the Tigris and Euphrates, pretty much. So like picture, if you were a nomadic tribe in that region way, 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 way back then, and you were wandering around and you came across this beautiful, lush land, that's Eden. It's just a complete misinterpretation of understanding what the Fertile Crescent was really like.
Yeah. It's not real. Oh, beautiful. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's real, but it's not real.
Yeah. Let's because just say that. Also, you know, if it's real, it's guarded by an archangel, so you can't even get into it, man.
You can't even get in there. There's no getting in. You're done. You're 86 the moment you step near there.
Yeah. You can thank Eve and Adam for that.
Yeah.
Josh, what is your opinion on Alan Moore?
I like Alan Moore. He is a crazy old man wizard, and I don't really think he's as relevant as he was, I would say, in the 80s and the early 90s, but still a great writer.
Yeah.
You can't walk away from that. He's still a great writer.
I think he's one of the greatest comic writers of all time, and I think he's a crazy person. So...
Oh, yeah, he's definitely...
He's
super crazy.
I also think he's his worst enemy.
Yes.
And the things that DC did to him are shitty, but it would be easier to kind of be on his side if he weren't such a dick about everything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Take that as you will. Josh, why did Firefly get canceled if it was so popular among sci-fi viewers?
Because it's not really a good show. I'm going to stand by that. I will always stand by that. That there's other shows that have done it better. Cowboy Bebop did Firefly better. If it's popular among sci-fi people, it doesn't necessarily mean it's good. It's a cult classic. Going back and watching it, it's a really difficult show to watch because you're like, I've seen this before. I've seen this somewhere else. I've seen this done better somewhere else. So that's my opinion on it. And, you know, I think Joss Whedon got a lot of praise and love after Buffy and all that stuff. So it's more of just kind of like he had a big cult following for this television show that is kind of subpar mediocre. And it got canceled because it just didn't fit the lineup that was happening at that time.
Here's my answer for this. It wasn't popular. If it was popular, it would have stayed on the air. Here are the facts. Firefly aired on Friday nights. It was a weird sci-fi show. It didn't get a lot of viewers. Now, it got popular after it was released on DVD, and it was popular enough to get a movie, but it wasn't popular.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't that popular.
And people are like, I can't believe Fox canceled it. And Firefly was kind of on the upswing as it got to its later episodes, but still, that show was like a $1 million an episode show.
Yeah, it was too much. It just didn't fit the budget. It didn't fit anything they needed at that time.
Yeah. Josh, can Pennywise beat a xenomorph in a fight?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna say yeah. Because Pennywise is like a space spider or like an ancient demon spider.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna say yeah.
I'll say yeah.
Final question, Josh. And you know, I'm a Star Trek boy, so this is very near and dear to my heart. Did Star Wars survive World War III in the Star Trek universe? And are Star Wars movies still made in the Star Trek universe as of the 22nd to 24th centuries?
No.
Okay, so there's a couple of points I want to kind of work with here. Number one, World War III in the Star Trek timeline is happening now. Like, we're in World War III.
Yeah.
First contact's coming.
We're in World War
III. First contact's coming pretty soon. So,
oh God, I hope it happens. Let's fingers crossed, right?
Yeah. So any Star Wars movie after like 96, which is The Rise of Khan, they don't exist. So you have the original trilogy. And that's it. Are they made today? Are we still reading? I guess we are reading like some books from the 16th century, but not a lot.
Yeah. Not a lot.
So maybe. A lot of that, but I doubt it.
Who knows?
But that's one of the things that Star Trek's always been scared about. They don't ever touch pop culture. So,
yeah, they really don't.
No, because
they try to tackle more social issues, but pop culture is something that just
That's why everyone listens to classical music and not, I don't know, the Beatles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Although I don't know if you've seen Star Trek Discovery. In the first season, they did mention that they were talking about the great scientists, you know, Einstein, Stephen Hawking, Elon Musk.
Let's not give this to Musk.
And at that point, everyone was like, oh, that was when we were all okay with Elon Musk before he turned fully fucking insane. And now that he's a psychopath, that episode is like a rock hitting the floor.
Not aging that well.
No. So yeah, that's it for this week.
I dig it. It was good. It was fun. Quick, fast. I hope people strapped in and was ready to rock and roll and get this stuff done. Go play some video games. Read some comics. Go watch a movie.
A full go have some rocket fun, ship. People.
Rocket ship.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will see you next week, I hope. If not, check us out at next Extra week. Life. We'll be streaming again. And we have some games. So
nothing like a party.
Yes. So have a good night, everyone.
Good night.